The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selina McKenzie.
It is Culinary Corner time now. We're going to be talking about the book In for Dinner, the instant Sunday Times bestseller featuring 101 delicious and affordable recipes to share and enjoy. Here is the book's author. Welcome, Rosie Kellett.
Thank you, Selina. It's lovely to be here.
Lovely to have you on the show. So why the title?
Well, the book is kind of about where I have lived for the last 5 years and how I've chosen to live communally with five of my friends. And the way that we do things is every night of the week, one person cooks for the whole house. And so every day on our WhatsApp chat, whoever's cooking will say who's in for dinner, and then they cook for that many people. So it felt like a very fitting title for a book that's full of recipes that we cook every day in our house.
Oh, that's a great idea. You obviously all get along.
Yeah, we get along very well. Yeah. We're like a little family.
Oh, that's nice. And how did you get into cooking? What's your background?
Well, I was an actor and a writer in theatre for like 10 years. And during that period of time, I obviously was not working all the time, as is, you know, many actors. And so I sort of made money in food, but I never really thought of it as my job. I was working as a baker at a bakery called Meringue Girls in East London. And then I did some work as a PA for a chef. And I was kind of all in and around the hospitality industry, but I just never thought of it as my career. And then as I was sort of approaching 30, I had this big existential crisis and thought, what am I doing? I'm not happy. I'm not living the life I want to live. And I had to really ask myself, like, what did bring me joy and what made me happy? And that was cooking and feeding people and writing about food and cooking food and eating food and sharing that with my community. And so a year and a half ago, I changed lanes and dedicated my life to cooking. And now we're here.
Yeah, and it's great, isn't it, doing a job that you love?
It really is. Yeah, it's like completely changed my overall well-being, my happiness, my fulfillment. Like it's like night and day if I compare how I was, you know, before I was doing this.
So in the book, there is breakfast, lunch, dinner, and of course, cakeys. Is that your favourite part? Because you were obviously a baker. What sort of sweet desserts are in there?
Yeah, well, it's funny, actually, because I spent 8 years making meringue. And actually now my palate has completely swung the other way. Now I crave salt. I want salty things. Wow. I rarely crave a sweet treat. But there are a few recipes that I swear by that are my like ride or die sweet puddings and bakes and treats. And they're all in the book. And the reason it's called cakeys is something my granddad used to say. He referred to all sweet things as cakeys, whether it was a pudding, a biscuit, a flapjack, whatever it might be. So it's like a family thing. And I thought it was a really, you know, he's sadly died. And so it was a nice way of remembering him to sort of name the chapter after him.
That is
But yeah, there's some incredible sweet bakes in there, like my grandma Pat's raspberry almond macaroons, and then my grandma Margaret's raspberry sponge. And yeah, like a whole mix of things.
Can I ask you what a PBJ blondie is?
Yeah, God, they're good. It's if a PBJ sandwich would be peanut butter and jelly. It's like a very American thing. We would say jam, obviously.
Yes, yes.
And I really love that combination of peanut butter and jam or fruit or, you know, something sweet to kind of like contrast the really fatty peanut butter. So I've developed a blondie recipe, which has like chunks of white chocolate. It's got salted peanuts in there. It's got a peanut butter swirled through it. And then I take frozen raspberries and squish those into the batter before it's baked. The whole thing is sprinkled with molten salt. And it's like a kind of salty, sweet, crunchy, umami little bake. And I think it actually represents a lot of the baking in the book, which is that it's quite well seasoned, you know, like nothing is overly sweet. And if it is sweet, then it's balanced with salt. And yeah, it's how I like to bake, really.
It sounds lovely. I like peanut butter and jelly on toast.
Yeah, it's good.
But I do like your idea of this blondie. I will definitely give that a try. I've got a bit of a sweet tooth, I have.
You're going to like them.
And what if people don't necessarily have a sweet tooth, or maybe they're vegan or they can't eat gluten? Do you have any of those sort of recipes?
So many, yeah. And actually, like, we put a chart at the back of the book, which basically picks every single recipe that could be made vegan, gluten-free, pescatarian, veggie, because the house I've lived in communally had so many different dietary requirements. And so you were cooking all the time and there might be someone at the table that's vegan and gluten-free or dairy-free or like nut-free. So I got really good at sort of making little swaps and changes for dietary requirements. And I think that's a bit of a skill. So I've really tried to make it very accessible, and every recipe that can have one will have an amendment to say, like, if you want to keep this vegan, substitute for this. And if you want to keep it gluten-free, substitute this. So yeah, like I would say every single recipe in the book really has a substitution for like one or two ways that you could change it to fit other dietary requirements. But there's also some really amazing savory bakes in there. So we have like a potato rosemary and mozzarella galette, which is like a sort of free form pastry tart that is like amazing for summer, actually, for picnics and stuff. My sourdough focaccia recipe is in there, and that's vegan and just so good. It takes 3 days to make it, but it's absolutely worth it. There's a little bit of something for everyone.
What about if someone's on a budget? Are they not all expensive ingredients, are they?
No, I mean, that's literally how I've written the book. So like the way that we live in our warehouse is we live on £25 a week per person, and that buys all the food for the whole house for the week. And so all of my recipes have like, you know, budget and money in mind. And so they're all super accessible and affordable. And I sort of have a whole section at the beginning of the book that explains how we make that budget work and our sort of like tips and tricks for it. So we eat largely vegetarian, sometimes a little bit of fish, but it's, you know, tinned fish like anchovies and tuna. We lean really heavily on like pulses and tinned items and frozen things. But I think sometimes the perception is that if you're doing that, if you're using tinned and frozen fruits and vegetables, then, you know, your meals might not be delicious. They might not feel like luxurious and fancy. And actually they can. So what I've tried to do is really sort of teach people with this book how to live affordably, but with abundance and joy and deliciousness at the heart of it. And, you know, you don't need to compromise on delicious. In my opinion.
Oh, good. Living in a warehouse, that sounds fab.
Yeah, it was a wild ride. We were there for 5 years.
Bless you. Well, one of the recipes in the book is a salt and vinegar potato soup, and you're going to run through how to make that.
Yeah, I am. So basically, a salt and vinegar potato soup is the name I gave to the soup because it's all of the flavors of pierogi. And if you're not familiar, pierogi is a very delicious Polish Eastern European dumpling. It's often stuffed with like potatoes, sauerkraut, and then you would serve it with sour cream and more sauerkraut and caramelized onions. And they are phenomenal, but it does take time. And so I don't always have the time to make pierogi. But if I want those flavors, I will make this soup. And basically you boil some potatoes. I use baby potatoes, but you could use any chopped up, until they're beautiful and tender and cooked for about 20 minutes. And then in another pan, with butter and olive oil, you caramelize a bunch of onions, really cook them down until they're like jammy and golden brown and they've like become sweet and delicious. And then you scoop out a little bit to save the topping. And to the rest of those onions, you add all of the liquid. So you've got some vegetable stock, a little bit of vinegar. You pop all the potatoes back in there and you sort of mash up the potatoes a little bit, not completely, but just so that they sort of reveal that like fluffy interior, and that kind of helps thicken the soup. And then you simmer it away for a little bit longer, let all the flavors develop and everything reduce a bit. And then you stir in a bunch of chopped dill, a bunch of sauerkraut, which you chopped a little as well. And then you serve the soup topped with sour cream, a sprinkle of chives, the rest of the sauerkraut, and those caramelized onions that you reserved at the beginning with a very healthy grind of black pepper. And yeah, it's like having a pierogi, but it takes half the time. And it's a real winter wonder for me. It sort of like warms you right to your bones. So yeah, that's the soup.
Sounds lush. Well, our listeners can buy the book right now. It's out now. It's called In for Dinner, the instant Sunday Times bestseller featuring 101 delicious and affordable recipes to share and enjoy. And it's by our guest today, Rosie Kellett. If people want to find out more about you, Rosie, are you on any sort of social media?
Yeah, I am. You can check me out on Instagram. My handle is just my name, and my surname has double L and a double T, which sometimes people forget. So yeah, I'm on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Substack. My Substack is called The Late Plate, and I share weekly recipes there that are all budget friendly and super accessible. I'm available.
Super. Well, good luck with the book and thank you for sharing it with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Take care, Rosie. Bye-bye.
See ya.